The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a good Monday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, sports360az.com from our Skyview Satellite Studios. And hope you had yourself a great, great sports weekend. Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. She'll be with us coming up the bottom of the hour. A lot going on today, a lot on my mind, and the Cardinals. What happened the other night at the Arizona State Sun Devil football banquet? I have some insight as to who actually would drop $9,000 on a football, but nobody wanted to have dinner with the coach, which I thought was kind of interesting. Well, it's just a little too much money. A quarterback that transfers out of the program. The Suns in their situation with their wins and just my Heisman Trophy vote. I can finally talk about, you know, the Heisman folks, when they ask me, you're going to be one of the people that votes on this, but you cannot talk about it. Guys, if you want to create interest in something, you might want to let us talk about it before it happens. So when it rolls into Monday and everybody's talking about the NFL and all that stuff, and they don't really want to hear Heisman Trophy stuff, I don't know. It's just a different way of going about things. So I will explain why I voted for who I voted for and why I did put Kadeem Carey on the list, because I know Kadeem nationally did not get a whole lot of run. And, of course, you get the usual people on Twitter. Tough guys on Twitter, right? How can you in Arizona vote for Kadeem Carey and you didn't vote for, you know, fill in the blank? So we'll have that as we roll through the show as well. Jared Cohen in for Eric today with our Facebook question of the day to get us off and running. What's going on?
All right, so the Phoenix Suns win again last night. It's now 5 in a row.
Yeah.
The Facebook question is, now that they have won 5 in a row after beating Golden State, what has been the biggest reason for their success so far this season?
The Suns. So, you know, everybody's talking about the Cardinals and what they've done, but quietly, here's this little basketball team that wasn't supposed to do anything. It's over off to the side, and they've now won 5 in a row, as you point out. The biggest reason for their success this season, you go to Facebook.com. I'm not going to plant. You want me to plant some answers? Is that what you're looking for
here? If you'd like to get the conversation rolling so far.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious what's going on. They've fired their general manager, who was incompetent. The coach that was here couldn't get it done to save his life. They put a backcourt together that is able to play. I mean, come on, Jared. This isn't that hard. Am I on to something? Am I leaving something out?
No, I think
this isn't about Miles Plumlee. Come on.
I think you're right on track. I would throw in that this backcourt has exceeded expectations. I think they're playing really well together. If we're talking about how it's being done on the floor, because that's where games are won and lost, is on the floor sometimes.
Right.
So the backcourt's been huge, and the emergence of younger players really stepping up. Markieff Morris is starting to look like a top 15 pick. So
he's starting to look like a player that actually fits on a top 15 in a roster.
Exactly.
Because he didn't look like a player that could fit in
a roster. No, he's looking like a first-round pick to me now.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason. There's all sorts of stuff. So weigh in on Facebook. Like to hear everyone's reasoning behind the success.
Okay, and so you can get it through over on that on Facebook, and of course I'm on Twitter at Brad Sesmatt. White Mountain Radio, always good to be on White Mountain Radio and around the great state of Arizona. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains, where it is coming up, guys. New Year's Eve, there's skiing at the Sunrise Ski Resort. Who wouldn't want to be at the Honda Resort and Casino to pull down the slots? Big winnings, have some fun. They've been with us since day number one, 2.5 years ago. The Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains, that is the place to go for New Year's Eve. They have their big New Year's Eve bash, they're calling it. Great food, great fun, the Honda Resort and Casino. Yesterday, I'll talk about this in a few minutes at greater length. Yesterday, I was asked to MC a focus group on this pro sports teams in Arizona. And it was very interesting to hear fans' responses to, like, who does the most off the court or off the field in the way of philanthropy? Does it matter? Do you know who the owner of the team is? Does anything other than winning matter? What is the easiest stadium to get into? What is the most difficult stadium to get into here in Arizona? Which team do you feel like is committed to winning? Which team do you feel like? And I'm going to get into some of the answers and some of what I was doing yesterday. But while I was doing this event, I was watching the Cardinal game. It was on there. The Cardinals, here's a little deal that when I look back on where they were a year ago, which was just at the bottom of the barrel, The Cardinals have scored 8 touchdowns in their last 2 games, okay? 7 of those 8 touchdowns were scored by a player that was not on their roster in the last season. So what does that tell you? Yeah, they struggled to win yesterday's game, 37-34. It shouldn't have been that big of a struggle, but it was. What it tells me is what I've been feeling the last few weeks, and that is that the organization's management group at the top is competent. They were incompetent. And for anybody, I get these nitwit Cardinal fans that are like, oh, you just bag on our team too much. Yeah, when you lose 58 to nothing last year at Seattle, I'm not going to sit here and say everything's great. I don't know. When your coach just pretty much quits last season on the job, which is what happened last year, I'm not going to sit here and say everything's hunky-dory. I'm just not. There's enough of that nonsense going on in our industry. So I like the fact that you're seeing different players come through. Jake Ballard was some free agent street tight end a month and a half ago, and yesterday played real well with Rob Hauser out and gets a touchdown. We'll know later today about Larry Fitzgerald's possible concussion. Andre Ellington was terrific, 158 yards in total offense. Bottom line is this team is playing hard for their coach. If they make the playoffs this year, I'm fine with that. If they don't make the playoffs this year, I'm fine with that too, because let's be honest, they've got to go to Seattle this week and they have San Francisco next week. They're not going to be favored in either game. If they finish up this year with 9 wins, that far exceeds where they were a year ago. Yesterday was awful in the last 3.5 minutes, though. How do you blow a 17-point lead in 3.5 minutes? They reverted back to your Cardinals. When they win, they're mine. When they lose, they're yours. Antoine Kaysen, another free agent that the Cardinals picked up in this offseason. Here's Bruce Arians on Kaysen. They picked on the wrong guy late in the game.
Yeah, they picked on the wrong guy, you know, twice too many times. And Antoine's been waiting his turn, and, you know, that it was great to see him make those plays. It was a huge play, especially the touchdown.
Here is Kaysen himself, that the team never stopped believing that they could pull this game out, even though they blew a big lead.
The guys on the defensive side got together. We rallied with one another. We never got down. We kept believing we can win this game. And that was huge for us, huge for everyone involved. Just keep continuing to believe in your mind that we can win this game. Make a play. Someone has to make a play.
We'll have more on that as we roll through Paula Bova news and notes at the bottom of the hour. The Packers-Cowboys game yesterday was terrific drama. Nothing like Cowboys suicide hotline on a Monday. You're up big, and then you blow the lead, and your star wide receiver decides to walk off the field with a minute 20 to go. Nice effort. Of course, the enablers in Dallas are like, well, we're going to sit and talk with him. He loves his teammates. Jason Garrett, the coach, said he loves his – Jason Garrett should be a dead man walking, by the way. But he loves his teammates. He loves his team. He has a great passion for winning. Here's the part. You have to understand how to handle yourself in those situations. He'll learn from the situation. No. It's not that you have to learn. You're a pro. You're a first-round pick. You should already know how to handle the situation. I'm pretty sure this is not the first time that Dez Bryant, when he's faced adversity, has kind of sort of said, I don't want any part of this, so I'm just going to walk off the field with a minute 20 to go. And when you think about that, this should be, he is suspended from the next game. Oh, but you're trying to go to the playoffs. At some point, you cannot baby these guys. And you bandwagon jumping Cowboy fans who've been to one playoff in the last 16 years under Jerry Jones. Your owner sits there and says, well, I'm still behind Jason Garrett. I still believe. Here's Jerry Jones. After the Cardinal game was fun to watch. Watching the Cowboys absolutely implode was very entertaining yesterday.
You got the game. We're talking about this ball game right here today. And every time in sport when the coach loses a ball game, it's, you've got to have a vote of confidence.
You got to have a vote of confidence, which usually is you're done. We'll see. I will step aside here a little early because I'm going to get into more on the Heisman Trophy vote, why I voted the way I did, what happened at the ASU banquet, quarterback transferring out of ASU, Sun stuff too, and we'll work our way back over to the Cardinals as well. News and notes, Paula Bovin. It's a busy Monday, wide open, a lot on my mind as we roll through. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. Good Monday to you. Paul Abova, news and notes in a couple of minutes. Just hanging out. Jared Cohen in for Eric today. And Jared, you over the weekend went and saw U of A's next great player in basketball. The U of A basketball team won on Saturday morning at Michigan in a terrific game. And U of A is number one again. For all you Sun Devil fans, just deal with it. They're going to be number one for a while. They looked really good. But then Saturday night, you saw the future, right?
I did, yeah. I saw Stanley Johnson plays for Mater Dei. He is the top recruit coming into U of A next season. And he lived up to the bill.
How big is he?
He's about – they measure him at 6'7". I'd say he's closer to 6'6", but he is built like a 25-year-old. And
he looked like – in the piece you did over on Sports360AZ, he looked to me like he was 25.
He is enormous.
Yeah.
And he is extremely well-spoken. He's extremely talented, explosive player. There were a couple things that I caught in his game that he's definitely going to need to work on. His jump shot's a little flat.
Are you nitpicking?
I'm nitpicking.
Yeah.
You know, because this is a guy that
– Would you tell that to his face?
I could.
Yeah, you have to look up, though, right?
I'd have to look up.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, if you
he can't
people
shoot.
People are billing him as maybe the best recruit in the country, and or one of them at least. And his jump shot was a little flat. He doesn't have a great left hand, but
here's what
you can't teach his explosion. Like, he is impressive.
Here's what I liked about your piece. So he comes out onto the floor, and he's not wearing his modern day sweatshirt.
Nope.
He's wearing
a U of A t-shirt.
Now, how did that go over with the people? Because this was all the big names across the country on a media end that cover high school recruiting. The Burlesons and those guys were all there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was it kind of weird, or was it kind of, oh, that's cool, or is it no big deal that he's not wearing his school colors? He's wearing the college that he's going to go to.
I know. I didn't really hear mumblings about what people were saying about it other than the fact that he was wearing it.
Yeah.
I didn't really hear any opinions here for or against it.
I'd be against it.
He did it on purpose. There was a lot of U of A fans there. There were U of A fans there that went to watch him play, that oohed and aahed at his dunks.
He had like six dunks, right?
At least.
Yeah.
Some really strong ones, too. So it was fun. Man, there was some great talent over at that tournament. I mean, they had some great players from Oak Hill Academy that were out there, some guys that will be playing Division I. Bishop Gorman has two guys that are Division I players, so...
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Who Paul West? And that's a deal that Jerry Colangelo put together, and it's going to be an annual deal. When USA Basketball rolls in here permanently over in Tempe, they're going to make this an annual part of the deal, and it's terrific to make Arizona a hoop heaven. I like to refer to myself as a hoop-aholic. Some people don't like the words aholic. I am addicted to basketball.
Me
okay?
too.
And no, I know you are, and you're probably a better shooter than I'll ever be, but that's, you know, it's fine. ASU had their football banquet on Saturday night. They put up for auction. They do the live auction thing. I wasn't there. I heard this from a few people. They put up the live auction dinner with Coach Graham and his wife at one of the Big Cigar Boosters houses. I'm not going to say who it is, but so they put it up and they asked $25,000 as a starting bid. $25,000, Coach Graham, his wife, you and yours, big booster house, crickets in the room. Nobody bid a thing. They drop it down to 20,000, crickets, 15,000, crickets, 10,000, crickets, 5,000. And finally, one person told me, they just kind of put it over to the side. But somebody decided that getting the game ball from ASU beating the U of A was worth $9,000 to them. Hey, honey, I've got $9,000. What should we do with it, dear? Well, we could put it into an IRA. We could put it into a college. We could go give it to the Salvation Army or any charity. I know I want the U of A football, so I'm going to drop $9,000 on that so I can have it in my office and tell everybody I've got it. Absolutely. That makes perfect sense to me. I completely get it. This is what you call, well, it's his money or her money. I don't know. But really, $9,000 for a football? Wow.
But this is what big-time programs do, Brad. This is how we support the programs, how we support the Sun Devils. You know, we're the Sun Devils here. We got to understand that.
I got it. I understand. Michael Eubank transferred out of Arizona State's program over the weekend. Now, Michael Eubank will go down in my book as one of those players. There's been a few of them through the years that, oh my gosh, we got, this is ASU people to me, oh my gosh, we got this player, fill in the blank, and he is the greatest player in the history of mankind. This player will go on and play in the NFL. This player will do this. This player will go do that. I was told by a couple of ASU people when they landed Michael Eubank that he is, quote, incredible and amazing, and he is going to be in the NFL playing. Well, as I look at Michael Eubank's tenure, and I wrote about this over on Sports 360 AZ, Michael Eubank probably went down as one of the most frustrating Sun Devil players in many, many years, who came in, didn't live up to the hype that was around him. And a lot of that's not the kid's fault, in my opinion. And look, you've got to produce. Taylor Kelly's just flat out produced. A year and a half ago, we got Mike Bercovici at quarterback. And we got Michael Eubank, who then should be the guy, and this kid Taylor Kelly over here. That was a year and a half ago. Well, we've all seen how that's worked out. Eubank last year at Missouri, the Sun Devils try this fourth and goal deal, this goal line offense with Eubank, and it was a disaster, and they end up losing the game. Against Stanford, they bring Eubank in. Everybody in the building knew what they were going to do. Didn't work out. Now he leaves the program. In my humble opinion, seeing him, he outgrew the position. He might be better served to just switch to being a tight end. I'm sure he wants to continue to play. If he goes on and is the number one overall pick at quarterback and wins a Heisman Trophy somewhere else, you can rewind the tape and play and say, this was one of Brad's really bad predictions. It's fine. I'm fine with that. So Michael Eubank leaves the program. That leaves Taylor Kelly and Mike Bercovici and the incoming Manny Wilkins. So the quarterback situation at ASU, while it's very secure with Kelly, you do have to start looking at what's next. In Tucson over the weekend, and again, this story is up on Sports 360 AZ, the Wildcats landed a junior college quarterback. Junior college quarterback who initially committed to Oregon, then decided to go to LSU, left LSU, then went to a JUCO in Mississippi, and came here to the U of A. U of A's got, like, what do they have, Jared? Six quarterbacks now? Seven quarterbacks on their roster?
They got a lot.
They got a lot of quarterbacks.
I mean, they got Connor Brewer. Anu Solomon was their prize gem of last recruiting class. They got a lot of players.
So they have all these guys, and this quarterback, though, is the guy that you put athlete next to. That's his deal. And so he's now coming in. I thought it was interesting over the weekend that Arizona State's assistant coaches, three of them, went to go watch the top wide receiver in the state play, Cameron Denson, who's already committed. He's committed to U of A, right, Jared? So, but three ASU assistant coaches went to watch him play basketball. What does that tell you? It's pretty simple. Hey, we, just because you've given somebody a verbal, it's that time of year where you're still going to go after some guys and go after them hard and see if you can turn their commitment another way. ASUDevils.com reported this morning that Kissimmee Janga, who was this top-time, big-time player out of Chandler High, went to Colorado, came back to ASU, has quit the program, no longer with the program. This guy was supposed to be a difference maker up front. Concerns me with Will Sutton leaving. So there's a lot going on in our state around ASU and U of A. You're not going to get it anywhere else in terms of people talking about it. And I think it's pretty interesting. The $9,000 for the football, I probably would have paid $15 or $20. Of course I would have. I didn't go to ASU, but anybody who wants to pay that much money just for a football, it would be very funny if it was a U of A guy. I'm sure it wasn't, but those people can, you know, they sneak in. Mac Brown quit at Texas over the weekend. This came as no surprise. Steve Patterson said he could have remained as coach. Of course Steve Patterson said that publicly. Of course he did. And privately, it's, look, the door is going to hit you in the backside. So let's be big boys about this, and let's put on our best faces, and let's walk out of here together singing Kumbaya. Mac, you can leave on your own terms, but I'm here and you're gone. Will this impact Arizona State? Well, or U of A for that matter. I think whoever comes in there obviously recruits Texas. ASU and U of A try to get the leftovers, the scraps in Texas. ESPN.com, one of their columnists did put put Todd Graham on the list of possible replacements. So Todd Graham's name is out there. Do I buy into that at this point? No, I don't. David Shaw from Stanford makes a lot of sense to me. Bill O'Brien at Penn State makes a heck of a lot of sense. He's done a terrific job in turning around a brutal program with everything that happened there in the Paterno scandal. Jim Mora, no question about it. Jim Mora, is that contract signed? Chip Kelly, could Chip Kelly look at leaving the NFL? He had his deal with the NFL and said, you know, I go to Texas, make a boatload of money. That story, as we progress through this next week, will be very interesting. And day by day, we'll talk quite a bit about it as we do a lot of college football here. I voted my Heisman Trophy ballot went Jameis Winston, Jordan Lynch, and Kadeem Carey, 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, Jameis Winston winning was not a surprise at all. Here's Jameis Winston at the Heisman Trophy ceremony. This was on Saturday night. Famous Jameis from Florida State, the Heisman Trophy winner.
You got players like Kevin Benjamin, Rashard Green, Kenny Shaw, Nick O'Leary, and you got a great team like that, and you have an offensive line like I have. I mean, we had a bunch of landslide victories, so I guess this was another one.
Yeah, there you go. I kind of like him, and he's going to do well at the next level. I do. He screwed up. He did something stupid. Last time I checked, when I was 18, 19, 20, I did a lot of things that were stupid. He's been cleared of it. You can have the conspiracy theories all you want that, of course, he was cleared of it. And I'm kind of there with you on that. You know, the day of the press conference when they were all kind of laughing and joking about this investigation, that's nothing to laugh and joke about. Nonetheless, Heisman Trophy winner. Jordan Lynch, if he played against bigger competition, probably would have gotten my vote. He just didn't do it. It's not his fault. That's the school that he's at. Hard for me to justify it. Kadeem Carey, I would take Kadeem Carey over any of the running backs in the nation. Plain and simple. And I took a lot of heat for putting Kadeem Carey down there. Some of you nitwit ASU fans came out of the woodwork. Why? Because I hinted around about it on the show. I hinted around. I said, I voted for a guy who's south of the studios that I'm in. That pretty much narrows it down. But if you didn't believe he's the best running back in the nation this year, then you weren't watching football. You just weren't. Paula Bovin on the other side, news and notes. We do every week, every Monday, Paula Bovin, news and notes, AZ Central Sports. She joins me next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Plenty of content up at sports360az.com. White Mountain Radio, good to be on White Mountain Radio into the holiday season. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. We are Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Yeah, you're saying, why aren't you talking about the Lions-Ravens tonight? Because they're not playing in Arizona. It's pretty simple. Back after this time out with Paula.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin, my friend, joins us every week, AZ Central sports columnist. Have you ever left a story early with like a minute 20 to go in the game, like Dez Bryant did?
No, I have a little more integrity than that.
And he said that he left because he had to go in the locker room and cry. I cried when I got to the locker room. I didn't want to show that stuff on the sidelines.
I hate to be a cynical journalist, but...
Yeah.
Come on. That's really the explanation. Plus, you've got to stick it out. You just, if cry or not, you've got to stay on the sideline. You're crying. People will respect you. They're not going to make fun of you. I thought that was a weak excuse.
I would make fun of him.
You probably would.
Just a little bit. I'm not in. Do you think I'm cynical about this? Come on.
I mean. Yeah. I think you have a few of those bones in your butt.
A little bit, huh? Our hometown heroes yesterday go to overtime. And I don't care if they win the last two games or lose the last two games. I don't care. I've seen a successful season. There's no other way to put it. The Cardinals, from where they were a year ago, was that Mark Dalton sent out a tweet, 8 touchdowns in the last two games. They've scored 7 were scored by a player not on the roster last season. So the competency level that I've seen out of this team here at the end of the season, I don't buy into they haven't played anybody. They still have to go out and take care of business. What about you?
I'm with you, Brad. I mean, a lot of respect for what they're doing, and a lot of it is, you know, they're finding those ways to win, and that says to me, this is a coach that has really mentally prepared this team well. Really impressed sort of where Carson Palmer has come, you know, we weren't really sure if what he used to say, you know, people aren't comfortable with the system, he's not comfortable with the system. Well, it ended up there was so much to that, and I think that's a great sign that what this, what these coaches are selling to these players, they're believing in it, they're buying into it, they're understanding it, and you know, they've had some tough breaks. I think the Tyrann Mathieu one is obviously a big one, but I've been very impressed with what they do, and this is going to be fun. I think the build up to Sunday's game is going to be fun in this town. It's going to be really, really hard to win, but I think people are into it.
Well, when you consider what happened last year when they went to Seattle, you know, that's,
yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's you're not going to get blown out 58-0. The thing I like about Arians, he always seems like he is in control of the game situation. Like, I don't see a look on his face of befuddlement. Like, what did you just call? There were some penalties, and I'm sure you saw it, in the middle part of yesterday's game where he went absolutely nuts, the four-penalty drive on the Cardinals. And every one he was challenging, and every one of them I was reading his lips, and he was talking about, I don't know, furniture or fire hydrants or something started with an F. I don't know. But you know what I mean? He's into the moment, and he's not just – there's times where you have to let stuff go, and there's times where you really have to get after it, and it feels like he just wants to get after every little detail. And I like that.
Well, that speaks, like you said, of sort of his knowledge of the game. And Brad, I remember when he was hired, there were a lot of people talking about his age.
Yeah.
And there were some people wondering if maybe they go with some young up-and-comer, a popular offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. You know, there's a lot of questions. And so this is a great thing about getting in a guy who's a little bit older than maybe some that are in the league, who really has been around successful programs, ones that have struggled, different types of coaches. You just absorb a lot of information, and he's so passionate about his job. I mean, I think the ways this team is benefiting is from his sort of football experiences.
Paul Above the News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Yesterday, I was asked to moderate and lead a focus group of Valley sports teams. Okay. I'm at a sports restaurant, and there's a group of fans, a large group of fans that had no idea why they were there. And I'm asking questions like, which team do you perceive as being the best at giving back to the community, consistently competing at a high level, enjoyable fan experience, team has good moral values, affordable, team's ownership's committed to creating a winning team? And I was asking these questions to this group about the Coyotes, the Diamondbacks, the Suns, and the Cardinals. There are times, Paula, where I feel like I have a good feel of what's going on in the Valley with sports and around the state. I don't have a pulse at all because the teams that they were talking about in answering this, and I can't divulge the results yet, but I would just say that you and I might have some differing views than most of these fans were coming in. It was a pretty large sampling size. You ever been part of one of these things, by the way? You ever done one of these deals? Focus groups?
I haven't been. I know, obviously, though, you know, we do focus type groups at the AZ Central quite a bit just to gauge reader interest in what they're talking about and everything. But I haven't done one. But so there were questions about, like, fan experience and
I was asking them, what is a fair price for a ticket? What do you like better about watching from home versus live? What do you dislike about going to games? What do you like about going to games? How often do you go? More or less in the past? What do you think about the pro sports teams in the Valley? I mean, just a little bit of everything, and people listen right now on this. I'm looking across the room yesterday, and it's a pretty diverse group, young, old, all different ethnicities, all different economic backgrounds. And the pulse here was not just, well, it's a market where people come from all around. And they seem very satisfied with the fact that the Cardinals can win a game in overtime and they're not all bent out of shape like probably in Dallas today. They found a way to lose a game. The passion was the one thing that came out of that deal yesterday, that the view that Phoenix is not a passionate sports town or that Arizona is not a passionate sports state. I think we've heard that before. I don't know if you agree with that or if that's changed. I think it's changed somewhat with the pro sports teams.
Yeah, I think there's certainly been an evolution. I mean, you know, this is a very unique, I think, city in the sense that there was only one pro team for so long, and there's, I think, a real historical connection with the Suns. But I think that the Cardinals just add such a different element. One, because NFL is king with fans, and the build-up for 16 weeks every week is unique to any sports environment. And also, just how bad this organization was for so many years. I think there's maybe a greater sort of acceptance or maybe tolerance for success than maybe there would be with other programs, because, gosh, you consider where they were, and there's some people so accustomed to failure that maybe there's a different kind of tolerance level with the Cardinals. I don't know. It's interesting.
I'll share one bit with you, and then I'll move on from this. We're talking with Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. So I asked them, if they knew the owner of the Coyotes. Nobody raised their hand. Do you know the owner of the Diamondbacks? Nobody raised their hand. Do you know the owner of the Phoenix Suns? A few people raised their hand. Do you know the owner of the Cardinals? Everybody raised their hand. Then I asked, what team do you feel like has the best ownership group and does the best job at being an owner in Arizona? And they thought the Cardinals did.
Really?
Which, you know, and I know that's not been the case through the years.
Right.
And I was just like, wow, really? Tell me why. And I could not interject any opinion on my end.
Right.
I couldn't interject any opinion on my end. So when I'm hearing that it's the Cardinals, tell me why. And I would have said the same thing about any of the other owners. Maybe it's good you're an invisible owner. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's good you're Jerry Jones and you're available after every game, win, lose, draw. Maybe it's like Jerry Colangelo used to be. That's a good thing. Maybe it's not nowadays.
Right, right. So that's interesting. You know, and there's two responses to that, I think. One, either just the name Bidwill, because there's been so much press coverage with this family, good and bad over the years, is one. And then the other is just that they were so down and such positive things have happened that maybe people have short memories. I don't know. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was 4 hours of this. And so,
wow.
Yeah, it's wore me out. ASU's football banquet, I was told someone bid $9,000 for the U of A game ball. Would you bid $9,000 for any sort of sports paraphernalia from, you went to Illinois, so you don't have anything good with Illinois football.
Hey,
right?
Now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what was the last time? Was it Marcus Liberty when your basketball team did something? You know, I don't know. But in all seriousness.
It's been a while. I'm not like a sports paraphernalia person. So I love my memories of sports, and that makes me happy, but I don't spend money on that kind of thing. It's just I don't have that connection. So, no, I wouldn't, but not growing up here and having moved to Arizona and seen the passion/venom that occurs with this ASU-Arizona football rivalry, that's pretty interesting.
Where are you out here on Michael Eubank leaving the program? You're not surprised, are you, at ASU?
No, I thought he would go sooner.
Yeah.
I was always actually really impressed that they were able to keep him in the program this long, because it was clear once Taylor Kelly won the job and started doing well that it was probably bound to happen. So I'm not surprised. I thought it was going to happen sooner. And frankly, as someone who enjoys college football, relieved that we won't see those goal line plays anymore, because I just thought that disrupted the flow of the offense. Michael Eubank.
He's one of those guys, Paul, that came in with ASU people saying, oh, it's amazing we got him. He's the greatest thing ever. Mm-hmm. And now that he's gone, I'm going to get he can never play. He can never do this. He can never do that, which is disappointing.
Right.
I mean, that's the nature of the beast. But
I always thought that was really one of the coaching staff's great success stories, was that they didn't buy into the succumb to the pressure, buy into the hype. I mean, I think they appreciated who he was as a quarterback, though, but they went with Kelly when no one else sort of thought that was the route they'd go. I thought that was a great success for them.
Before you get out of here, so you're Ryan McDonough, and your basketball team has won 5 in a row. You have a backcourt in Bledsoe and Dragic. I didn't think that Dragic would be here after the trade deadline. I'm still kind of the opinion that that is the right direction for them to go. This all looks good right now, but are we just looking at basically a team that, you know, is an 8th seed or a 7th seed? Right now, if the playoffs were to begin today, they'd be a game back of having home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. That's how well they're playing. What do you make out of this?
It's unreal. You know, I know there's the people out there that are just so disappointed that they're not losing more because of what the potential and everything else of failure that could help with draft picks. But the bottom line to me is, yeah, so let's say they get into the postseason and get knocked out of the first round. There's still time. There's still time for them to grow. They've got draft picks, maybe not the ones people want, but I think so far this organization, this new management team has shown that pretty good at evaluating talent. They're still on this great upward trajectory. So I think it's an exciting storyline. I'm not bothered at all that it might end up, you know, another first-round knockout because they're in a much better place being a potential first-round knockout this season as they were in the past several years, if that makes any sense.
No, I get it. I get it. When will the column, either by yourself or one of your colleagues, about, hey, Robert, nice job to stay out of the limelight. Is that column brewing? Is it there? Are we ever going to hear from him? Or is he just one of these guys like, you killed me the last 3 years, I'm not going to talk?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. And I think, I mean, it's kind of been addressed that he's taken this route. I think it was, you know, people suggested to him that was a good route to take. And I think if things continue in this positive direction, I think there'll be a sort of, wow, Robert Sarver, you kind of, if it's true, and I haven't been close enough to this organization, but if he's really letting people sort of do what they think they should do, that's the column to me, is maybe he's changed a little bit who he is. I'm kind of curious what's going on over there.
Anything going on this week you're working on?
I'm actually working on a couple things, but one is sort of setting up sort of a Fiesta Bowl, but kind of a retrospective of where this bowl has been, you know, over the years, what its sort of reputation was, where it's gone, and how it sort of fits into the future of college football. So that's what I'm working on.
I like that. I'll let you go off that. Stay well. Thanks.
All right, Brad. Good talking.
You as well. Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Last night was Santan Ford's Christmas party. I, of course, went there and hung out with General Manager Tim Hovick. And he was all excited about the Cardinals game yesterday. And we talked about ASU and the upcoming bowl game. And just went around the sports scene. I was telling about this research thing I was doing yesterday. And the guy is just plugged into what's going on in sports. And people just kept coming up to him at this party saying, hey, how's it going? And sports would be brought into the conversation. I don't know about you, but if I'm trying to get into business or if I'm trying to buy a vehicle from a business that is into sports and I need a new car, I need a new truck, then Santan Ford, that's definitely the place for me to be. I don't know about you as you're going through this holiday. If you have the right car, you have the right truck, if you know what you're driving over to the coast or up to the mountains, maybe it's time to get into that F-150 at the end of the year. It's been a great year for Santan Ford. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. You can go online at santanford.com for all the information. But get that car, get that truck. This is the best time of year, guys, to do it. We're sitting here on the 16th of the month. Why not stop in and get that done before the year is complete? That's at Santan Ford, where it is all about you. On the other side, so the battle between the 49ers and Seahawks goes to the next level. I'll explain why on that. And a few other things from my mind over the sports weekend that we pounded through as well. That's all next. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. sports360az.com, White Mountain Radio, on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. From our Skyview Satellite Studios. The 49ers and the Seahawks, they're back at it again. This one coming to me from RWP602. RWP is always one that likes to give us some good content here, some of the offbeat stuff to make the show go. Few NFL franchises can match the prestige and mystique of the 49ers, their team in the midst of the fiery NFC West rivalry with the Seahawks. Niners fans are taking the opportunity to remind Seahawks fans of one thing they don't have, a rich legacy. So, I don't know if you heard about this. The Seahawks paid the Seahawks fan base, the 12th man. They paid a Bay Area plane to carry a Seahawks banner over the Seahawks game in Candlestick Park last Sunday. Niners fans have now turned around and have raised enough money to get a billboard less than a mile from Seattle's CenturyLink Field. You're going to fly a plane over our field, then we're going to go get a billboard by your field. The proposed billboard has a photo of the catch, Dwight Clark's legendary catch. We can all see it, right? In the 1982 NFC Championship game against the Cowboys. They have the catch, and it's hidden behind not the one, not the two, not the three, not the, even the four, but the five Lombardi trophies the Niners have won, the Super Bowl-winning trophies as a franchise. San Francisco and Dallas have each won five Super Bowls, behind only Pittsburgh six. Now, you're thinking to yourself, that's pretty smart. So 49er fans said, you guys are going to fly a plane over our place? Plane's there just for 3 hours. Why don't we go get a billboard, and we'll go put it right outside of the Seahawks stadium that shows all the trophies that we have. I kind of like this. How much does this cost, of course? The project was expected to cost fans $7,000. They've already raised more than $6,000 online. This, according to the project's founder, all the extra money will be contributed to Seattle's Children's Hospital. I like that. I like that. So the 49ers are saying, we're going to build this. If we get any extra money, we'll give it to a Seattle charity. That's cool. So the San Jose Mercury News writer who put this together called up a Seattle company to get some prices. And they figured if they could raise at least $7,000, they'd be able to do something in response. The banner, so many people have responded. It's been an amazing support that this thing has received, end quote. Now, would we ever see something like that here out of the Arizona Cardinals? My thought is no. This takes years and years, and of course you have to win. Have we seen this sort of thing out of ASU and U of A? Yes, we have. And it's not that they've won anything major, right? ASU, when was the last time ASU even got to a Rose Bowl? When was the last time U of A even got to the Rose Bowl other than buying a ticket? The answer is zero. They've never been. And ASU people like to point that out. I may sound like I'm anti-U of A on this. The facts are, you've never been. Am I wrong? No. ASU's won a Rose Bowl. They've been to a Rose Bowl. And they like to remind them of that. I kind of look at both sides and say, guys, you haven't done anything in this state for 15 years plus. Please do something. But I see the U of A billboard, you know, the painting of the A and stuff like that. That's all well and good. I kind of like this on the pro level. We need a little bit more of this because I don't like hearing about fans getting stabbed in parking lots or fights that break out after you're done with an NFL game or any sporting contest for that matter. I kind of like that story. Michael Jordan's home in Chicago is up for auction. 56,000 square foot home, kind of like the studio that we're in. I don't know. We all need a 56,000 square foot home, right? The auction is taking place today. The company that runs it features Jordan's Highland Park home north on Chicago on its website. The home has 9 bedrooms, 15 full bathrooms, not partial, not halves, full bathrooms. A pool pavilion, regulation size indoor basketball court. Of course, all the luxuries of home. It also features what's been described as a gentleman's retreat. I kind of like that. It's got a library, full wet bar, original doors from the Playboy Mansion in Chicago. Sits on 7 acres. Home was listed at $29 million in early 2012. Up for auction today. I'm going to put in a bid on that for a doorknob, and that's about as far as I'm going to get on the auction for that, for one of those bathrooms. And even that is probably worth a little bit of money. I didn't get into the Suns very much early in the show today because it's been a big NFL weekend and college and the Heisman and all that stuff. I talked about it briefly with Paula. You know, the more that you look at this team and that they are beating some squads that you should beat, and then they turn around and beat a team like Golden State, and they beat Portland twice. And Portland, I think, is close to the best team in the NBA on the Western Conference side. But the Suns are sitting there, and they have an interesting decision to make. Because are they just a team that you look at and say, this is a nice start? Nobody said that they would be a team that would run off this year and have the type of season that they've had at this point. Nobody said that. what they're doing is making Ryan McDonough and Jeff Hornacek, the front office, what direction are they going to go? That's a very fair question to ask at this point, because you can't just keep this same group on the floor, I don't believe. Why do you say that? They're having success. I don't want to just have success in 2013, 2014. Now, I want to have success for a prolonged run. That's what this team has done, the right move. They've bottomed out. And so when you bottom out like they did last year, you don't just instantly come back. Yeah, you have Bledsoe and you have Dragic, but as you go up and down the rest of their roster, how many guys do you look at and say, for them to be a title contending team, they have to keep this person? Channing Frye, they could get rid of Channing Frye and help themselves out financially by getting rid of him and looking at somebody in the 2014 or 2015 class. Channing Frye right now is a terrific fit for them, and he's a terrific guy. My point in this is, I'm sure that all five of you Suns fans, or maybe 10 of you now, are enjoying the run of seeing this team go out and prove people wrong. But my fear is that the owner is going to come down the hall and start to get involved in this and say, you know, hey, we don't have to do this 3 or 4 year rebuilding thing. Well, no, yeah, you do. You do. And let's not push through this immediately. Let's not just try to make some moves to say we could compete in the Western Conference today. No, stick to your course, stick to your guns, be conservative in your approach, take your lumps, because I think the lumps are eventually going to come. I was surprised, and pleasantly so, earlier in the year when they had their injury to Eric Bledsoe, when Bledsoe went down, 24 points, 8 boards, 8 assists last night. Dragic had 21 points. They're still living and dying by the three-point shot too much, 13 to 27 three-pointers last night. You're going to have nights where you only hit 7 of those 27 three-pointers. And when that happens, that's when you become a bad basketball team. It's fun to have a team that is interesting. It's fun to have a team that's entertaining. Nobody's going to the games. I watched the other night. There was nobody in the stands on Friday night. I mean, nobody's there. And it's going to be a long rebuilding process. But don't try to push through and say, if we just make a move here, or make a move there now, and it ends up setting you back, and you get a bad contract because you think, hey, we can actually do something over in the NBA Western Conference. Sports360AZ.com. There's plenty of content up there throughout the weekend. Fresh content that'll be coming throughout the day today. Every day, we post stuff there on the college, the high school, and the pro levels around the state of Arizona. Of course, we're on White Mountain Radio. Good to be on White Mountain Radio Monday through Friday. And on Twitter, @BradSusMatt, CES. MAT, thanks for being with us.